home, CEO of the Movement Conservatory. It's a dance ministry to teach people how to worship in spirit and in truth, and it's for the mental health of the next generation.
Amen.
And I am Pamela Thompson. I am the author of the book From Tragedy to Triumph, and yes, I will be your grief and sorrow expert during this journey.
Amen.
And my name is Andrea Taylor. I'm your life coach. I am a published author and a motivational speaker, and I'm here to give you life skills and help you work through your life issues, putting your life in order.
Praise God. Go on and put it in order.
I'm the new kid on the block. I'm Regina Carvey Morales, and I'm representing singles, the singles community, and I'm from the Singles Advantage, which is a training and resource ministry for singles for the preparation of marriage.
Awesome.
Amen. So we're looking at ourselves, and I must say, we look good, y'all. Look at that, taking over the mountain of media. Let me tell you, that spirit that's on the mountain of media does not like us at all. Okay? He has been trying to do it. We have been working through our relational breakdowns, people. Yes. Where the camera at? I just want to look at you and say, this is real life. Okay? We ain't just up here for the show. We are living it, and it's real out in them streets. Okay? So today, I am so excited that Nashawn Holmes is going to be our narrator. She's going to read our verse of the day. She's going to go over our topics and kind of pose the questions. And we're just going to have one old good conversation. We want to invite all of you watching to just throw out your comments. Pam's going to be reading. We're going to be answering you. We are ready today. So go ahead and take it, Nashawn.
Welcome. And let's see. The results of relational breakdowns, as God stated, leads to death. While we may not die immediately, the slow death manifests itself in our lives through ways such as anger, bitterness, depression, anxiety, and isolation. While you may still be able to live in the manifested breakdowns of anger, bitterness, depression, anxiety, and isolation, to name a few, what you may not recognize is while in these states of mind is that your quality of life has and continues to diminish. Amen. Our scripture coming from Genesis 3, verses 6 and 7, Amplified Version. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was delightful to look at, and a tree to be desired in order to make one wise and insightful, she took some of its fruit and ate it. Mm. And she also gave some to her husband with her, and he ate.
Yes, he did.
Then the eyes of the two of them were open. Mm. That is, their awareness increased.
Close your eyes, y'all. Close your eyes.
And they knew that they were naked, and they fastened fig leaves, performance, together and made themselves coverings.
And it was uncomfortable and itchy. It was. Kind of like what it is when we make our decisions, uncomfortable and itchy. Them self-inflicted wounds. How your fig leaves feel.
Wow. First key point, manifestations, perception of relational breakdowns. Mm. We can see the very first diminished quality of life in the lives of Adam and Eve. Mm. They set the stage and opened the Pandora's box of knowledge, awareness, by way of example as seen in Genesis 3, verses 6 and 7. Mm. This action caused diminished quality of life as seen for the woman, Eve, in Genesis 3:16. What are some manifestations you can recognize as a result relational breakdown?
So first, I want to jump in and just welcome those jumping on. Carrie Kikes, thank you for watching. We're so happy to have you on the show. We have Mama D, who's in studio watching. Thanks for watching, Mama D. Hey, Ty, good to see you. I definitely miss you, girl. Miss you, girl. Rochelle, how are you? All the way from the Dominican Republic. Thank you for watching. Woo! Rochelle has a wonderful show in the morning. It's a morning devotional. Y'all got to get hip to that. I'm going to share it some more. Argentina, thank you for watching. We have Michelle from our private community. She's one of our first members to join the private community of Unapologetically Unashamed. Paris, thanks for watching. That's Pastor Kim's daughter. Hey, Paris. Hey, Paris. Appreciate you for watching. Erin, so good to see you. Thanks for watching. Heather. Hey, Heather. She has a small group, Anointed Foodies. Thanks for watching, girl. Go on and eat that food today. Tell all the ladies we say, hey. Hey, man, you want to pose the question again? Because I totally forgot.
Okay. The question
she had to get
is,
her glasses on. Don't these glasses look beautiful? I dye crests.
Okay, question. What are some manifestations you can recognize as a result relational breakdown?
Well, for me, it's poverty mindset. We were talking about that on the way to the car. As a result of relational breakdowns, my family grew up very poor. And so it was a dog-eat-dog world. Not rural. It was a dog-eat-dog house, right? And so for me, growing up with that mindset and with that view and perspective, it bled into my relationship, even my current relationship, where I accepted a lot of disrespect,
right,
unhealthy interaction, because I didn't want to go back to being poor, right? I didn't want to give up the luxuries that I now am accustomed to by way of this individual. So therefore, I would diminish myself. I would take what I shouldn't take, right? And that spoke to what my poor view on identity and my self-worth. So that for me would be one that I would look at.
Yeah, I can say that coming from a single parent home, I would dumb down later on in life with the relationships that I had. With my mom, I had to she was a very strong Black woman and very proud. And it was the thing of, you respect me and don't talk back. And even if I'm wrong, I'm right. And learning that, I started to choose relationships.
Come on.
And friendships and relationships where that kind of dynamic would happen.
Right.
And I would find myself having to dumb down or not speak and impoverished in my spirit, just really just poor.
That's good.
And I'm really glad that you said that poverty mindset of not, but just really just poor on the inside and thinking that was normal.
That's good. Because poverty doesn't necessarily have to be monetary, right? Poverty is a diminished quality. The bank is empty, even spiritually, right? Yeah. Because the spiritual things, that's the quality. That's the richness. That's the wealth of life. God says, seek ye first the kingdom. And then all of these other insignificant things will be added, right? Within his will for our lives. So poverty could be your bank. Your spiritual bank is empty.
Yeah.
And that's important and foremost to look at. Where's your balance? You got a negative balance, y'all. Shoot. Insufficient funds. Anybody want to jump in on the question? I told them on the way to the studio today that we going to have a conversation, right? Because, you know, we worked out the nerves and the kinks, and we're thinking about Shell T and Bear. They make it look easy. So we going to channel in the spirit of Shell T and a Bear in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I feel the anointing, or is it just hot?
So my breakdown was different. The relational breakdown for me started being a young, unwed mother and realizing that in the foundation of marriage, or even in the foundation of family, I started my family out all wrong. I started it out backwards. I started it out having the cart before the horse, as they would say. I had the child first, and then the marriage came later. But then I had to realize, even thinking about Eve, It was that I started it on a bad foundation. That foundation was wrong. But see, in my family, it's okay to have kids out of wedlock because that's what we do.
Yeah.
But for me, it wasn't like that. I was ashamed. I wasn't excited about being pregnant. I was actually ashamed because actually I knew better. Mm-hmm. But this thing called flesh that causes us to do some things.
Talk about the flesh.
As the scripture says, when you walk in the spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. But obviously, I wasn't walking in the spirit because my flesh got the best of me. Mm. And I ended up having a daughter when I was only 20 years old. I didn't know what to do with a baby. Thank God for my mama because she was there and she helped a lot. But then I was responsible for somebody now. It wasn't just about me anymore. Good. At the time, I was a college student and working. And now I got this baby. It was like, oh my God, what do I do?
Wow.
But my life became totally different because it wasn't easy anymore. I didn't just have me to think about. I got this child who needs everything from me. Mm. She needed everything. And then I had to lay down myself and begin to realize that, okay, I caused this. But now let me do what's right by this. And try to be a good parent even at that young age.
That's good, Pam. Yeah. That's good. Yeah. Come on.
And to piggyback off of Pam, in my situation, the diminished quality of life came out of fear of marriage.
Mm.
On my father's side, my grandparents were married for 40 years, but there was a lot of dysfunction. You can probably hear it in episode one.
Mm. Yeah.
So their children, although married, had multiple marriages. And the men in my family did not honor marriage.
Wow.
Had a lot of girlfriends outside of their...
Wow.
Yeah. And women calling our homes. And I saw that growing up. And I made a vow when I was like in the 10th grade that I never wanted to get married. Because I saw the pain that marriage, those marriages brought.
Yeah.
And then on my mother's side, I saw women raising children with no husbands.
Come on.
And so I took the path of least resistance and I said, I'm going to either live with a guy, I'm going to have children because I love children, but I do not want to be married.
Wow. That misconception, that false lens of the enemy. And even to piggyback off you, Pam, I just listening to your story, had my daughter young and didn't know how to love her. And that's as a result of relational breakdown, really, just not knowing. It's amazing. I don't know if you viewers can relate to some of our individual comments or answers to the question, but, you know, just take a moment in your own lives to kind of pose the question to yourself out of relational breakdowns. What's your experiences been like? How have your experiences have been? The purpose of this show is really to cause us all to dig deep. We want to have the conversation that no one's having. We want to bring light to the dark places of our lives so that true healing can begin to come in. This topic and this show is all about helping you to get some clarity, right? Helping you to uncover the things that are holding you back. Andrea had a wonderful event to get unstuck. We need to get unstuck because God's heart for us is to have quality of life, not minimization of life, not unhealthiness, not fogged clarity, not misconceptions of the directions that we're supposed to be going in, but know who we are and know where we're headed. That's God's heart for us. And hopefully through this conversation, and you guys just shoot out some questions. We have Pam over here ready to answer you. Michelle, we see your comment. We appreciate you. I know. Listen, technology is horrible sometimes, but we are grateful for technology. Right. We had ours last week, so God is good. We're so grateful in spite of. So we're just going to roll into the next question and keep the conversation going. Andrea, did you want to add anything to that first question?
Well, I can piggyback off what you said, and I started thinking about my mother. The words she said to me when I came home at 20 years old and told her I was pregnant.
Wow.
And one of the words she said to me was, whatever you do, don't get on welfare. And I was like, oh, no, I'm not going to do that. Mm. But for her, it was a trigger because that's what happened when she had me. She got on welfare. And so she didn't want me to, that generational thing to happen to me. And, you know, I didn't, because I was so driven, that did not happen to me, but I can see the fear in her eyes and it ignited something in me that said, you cannot do that no matter what.
Yeah. So. And that's kind of scary. And I feel like this generation, the perspective is skewed, right? Instead of the concerns go to how you're going to provide for the child, not necessarily that we're having children out of wedlock or out of marriage, that we're out of the principles of God.
Wow, and
being out
true.
Of the will and the principles of God bring the trouble,
right.
bring the curses, bring the dysfunctions into our home. So if what would it look like if homes and families would get into the principles, live by the
that's
principles
right.
of God
fair.
And be in the will of God, and that be the focus
that's
first and
right.
foremost,
that's
right?
Good.
Not how we're going to provide, because if we're in the will and living by the principles, provision will come.
That's right.
Right? We would know how to do this thing called life because he's already given us the answers.
That's true.
So what would that look like? We're going to go into the next question.
Second key point, identifiable life's dysfunctions. To the woman, God said, I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth. In pain, you will give birth to children, yet your desire and longing will be for your husband, and he will rule with authority over you and be responsible for you. That's Genesis 3:16,
that's good.
Amplified version.
That's good.
The results of Adam and Eve's disobedience has replayed in our lives today. They had created the first dysfunctional life's choice that has led to our generations and the many generations before us to curses on so many levels
wow.
that I refer to as generational curses.
Come on.
Okay. What life's dysfunction can you begin to identify or relate to as a result of this conversation? Can you see a correlation of these dysfunctions as a result of a generational curse, possibly seen through someone in your family or bloodline generationally?
I'm going to jump right into that. But before I jump into that, because, you know, it's going to get heavy up in here.
Yeah.
I want to welcome Christina for jumping on. Hey, Christina.
Hey, Christina.
Michelle, thanks for joining. Dharma, we are so happy you're on. Lucretia, we miss you.
Oh, yay.
How's your daughter doing? We are praying for her. Helen, thanks for joining. We so appreciate you all for joining. We're going to be trying to intermittently get your comments. We want you to jump in and join the conversation from home. If I were to answer that question, where do I see the results of relational breakdowns now as it stands, and it would be in my daughter, being now in human sex trafficking, and that perverseness of mindset that she has that's hard to get free is a generational curse. It happened to me with my father through sexual assault. It happened in my mother's life that birthed my sister through incest. So it's a revolving door in our family that we can see. You know, I think I can't say almost everyone, but I'm sure a lot of my uncles were affected by sexual assault or molestation. So that perpetual cycle has continued. And now I see that birth in my daughter in the form of a generational curse. Absolutely.
Yeah, for me, you know, when you're growing up, you're looking at things and you're watching things happen. And you're making statements in your head,
you're making
mental notes.
Yeah, yeah.
I am never gonna do that.
Come on.
When I have kids, I am never gonna do that. We're never gonna do this.
Come on.
I'm not gonna have this, that, or
other. Yeah.
And from our hearts, it comes from a real pure place.
Mm-hmm.
And we really desire to, that's not how I plan to raise
right.
my children
right,
if
right,
I have
right.
them. But we become what we see. The
yeah.
conversation we had in the car.
Yeah.
We imprint off of what is displayed to
yeah.
us.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm not
and
optional.
There's no way to get away from it until you get a relationship
right.
with the Most High God.
That's it.
There's no way. We're going to perpetuate these behaviors.
Yes.
These circumstances, these
yes.
situations, until we stop and deliberately and intentionally say, like you said, oh no, that's not going to be what,
that's it.
I'm not doing that. And you did it.
That's it.
Because you made a conscious decision.
That's it.
And then I believe you probably, God met you.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He did.
Yeah. You know, yeah. And so see that that correlates. It's so important that when you make a decision,
that's it.
You make that conscious decision to be what God wants you to be.
Yeah.
When you put it together, that dispels those generational curses.
That's it. Because the word of God says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. We're either going to do this thing or we're not.
Real.
We're either going to pray and fast consistently or we're not. We're either going to dedicate our life as a living sacrifice unto God. That doesn't mean that we're perfect. That doesn't mean that everything is going to be all hunky-dory. Trust me, that is a misconception. But we are able to see with a different perspective. We can see the Father even in the worst of times and in the best of times. And he is the one that gives us the ability to make the proper changes in our lives. I think so many times we try to fix ourselves in our own strength, and we don't cast our cares upon him, for he careth for us, like the word says. We don't take upon his yoke and let him take all the heaviness off. We continue to try to do this thing in our own strength. So you're absolutely right. Make a choice. Follow the Father. Follow him.
Amen.
Surrender. Live a life of surrender. And Holy Spirit, come through. Come through, Holy Spirit. He is your teacher, your guide, your advocate. He is on stand to the by, okay? He is better than Southwest. There is never a delay. Come on, Jesus.
Can I ask, Pam? Oh,
Lord.
You really blessed me. You really blessed me at Daughters of the King.
Armor up, Jesus.
Oh, yes.
And could
come
you
on,
please,
Pam.
I just... It was just on my heart to ask you to just share a little bit about the loins.
Go on and share on the loins, Jesus.
Okay,
don't hold back.
I will not. So when I was studying having your loins girded about with truth,
you went there.
I had to learn that we had to understand the truth about our loins, which is our procreative power, which is our power to create, make babies.
And when
we understand the truth, we have to go by God's truth and not man's truth. So when we think about the truth about our loins, we shouldn't violate our loins by one having sex without being married. It's a violation, and you need to repent if you have violated your loins by having sex before you're married. And also our loins are, it's so powerful. What I didn't touch on was that,
come on,
with our loins, God gave you the correct loins when you were born. He didn't make a mistake.
Come on.
He didn't say, oh, you know, I see people who want to have these sex change operations and all these different things, and they say, well, God has a sense of humor, and he knows, you know, he made a mistake. I really want to be a girl, but I'm a boy. But you need to understand that God didn't make a mistake. He made you a boy. He meant for you to be a boy. If he made you a girl, he meant for you to be a girl. But what happens is, in the world, you can be whatever you want to be. You can be whoever you want to be.
Speak on it.
But these loins that have to be girded about with truth is the truth of the word of God concerning your procreative power. So even ones who think about abortion and all of these types of things, that's not the order of God. Especially the Christians that want to masturbate, that's not the order of God. He didn't mean for you to pleasure yourself. He meant to bring that husband and wife together and to pleasure each other. And in the pleasure of each other, you guys have everything you need to please each other with your bodies, with yourselves. You don't need sex toys. I don't understand these married people, married couples, Christian married couples that want to use them, because if you got the real thing, why do you want a fake thing?
Hello.
And so when I was studying that, I was like, wow, Holy Spirit, you want me to say all that? And he was like, yeah, because people need to understand that when we walk in untruths, then we can violate the loins and not even really realize that you're in violation. Literally, he told me the words, it's illegal. And so now you gotta get right. So if you're doing those things, and another thing he dropped on me in the shower, and I was like, hold up, Holy Spirit, that's a little deep. All these single women that want to do some things with the shower heads because of the pressures of the water, and they make it go fast and they make it go slow.
We're
and they,
deep.
You know, they you doing all of these things, but because you feel like,
I hear about that.
it can be done, that's in violation as well, because the shower head was meant to cleanse your body and not to be taken down and used for all of these different purposes. People got to understand it's real out here in these streets.
We said we was going to get real on
and it is a real conversation. And
this
so,
is a real conversation.
And topics like that can be very hard to digest. And don't get it twisted. And we don't want the misconception of the enemy to feel any form of condemnation. It's alignment with the Father.
Come
and
on,
even those who are in homosexuality, those who have had sex change, it doesn't mean that you no longer can be saved. It doesn't mean that the Father's heart isn't for you. It's just a misconception and false lens of the enemy. And he will bring you into alignment. It's the action behind what you do in those lifestyles that create the sin, not what you have created. And let's just be clear, because we got your LGBTWZ community and all of these other factors out there, that Jesus loves you.
Come on.
Just as you are. He loves you where you are and as you are. And don't be afraid of judgment to go seek after him. I feel like judgment keeps that community from going into the church. And we need to dispel that. God accepts you as you are, as you come in. And as you begin to allow him to love you and lead you, he will begin to convict in a loving way, right? So that you can come in alignment with him. And that doesn't mean that it's gonna happen overnight, but you have to be willing to make a choice, not be double-minded, stand on what the word of God says. And however it looks to everyone else, it looks to everyone else, as long as you know that you and God are connected and you're connected to the source and you stay that course, the rest is history. Amen. Judge me all you want.
Come on. Repentance means to turn away from a thing.
Amen.
Repent, ask God to forgive you, and you back in good standing with God. See,
that's
condemnation makes you, it's kind of a double-edged sword for some people, because it makes you stay away from the church, but you don't understand that when you stay away, you cannot fix you.
Right.
Without God, it's not possible for you to get it right or to get it together. So just repent, ask the Lord to forgive you, turn away from that thing, and allow him to constantly walk with you through that process, because it's not anything that you'll ever be able to do without him.
That's it. Surrender. You need Holy Spirit. I don't care what no one tells you. And know that we love everybody on this show, but we want to have the hard conversation. We want to talk about this, because this is the taboo stuff. Stuff in the shower curtains and hangers. Listen. I'm sorry.
It's true.
If the world can do it and take over our media.
Say it.
And flood our rooms and our houses
Say
and
it.
Our phones and the billboards, then we need to take a stand for God
Come
and
on.
Take back this mountain of media and flood it with the correct content. And that's
Amen.
What we're here to do. Thank you, Truth FM, for providing the platform for us to do this, because it needs to be done. And we're going to continue. So if this is too hard for you, think about PG, RG, GG, and all those other shows that y'all watch, you know, the housewives and the wives' houses and all of that other stuff. Listen, join the conversation. Next question. Hallelujah.
Okay, third key point, relational toxicity of unaddressed iniquity, twisted behavior.
Come on.
First, we see great pain during childbirth. This represents the iniquity, twisted behavior ushered in by the enemy that attaches to the very children we nurse, groom, and protect, only to witness the very curse brought in by Eve's decision manifested as vexations. After all a parent's efforts, the children prove wicked and foolish.
Yeah.
In this season, they are proving to be foolish in this real-time generational curse.
Come on.
The sanctity of the role of the man to be responsible for the woman and to protect has been perversely taken out of its original direction as given by God, and disrespected by both man and woman, to bring further breakdowns of relational positioning between men, women, children, and parents, and the very unity of families. We see this today as it relates to human sex trafficking, rape, molestation, domestic violence, and the list goes on.
Come on.
The desire that God gave to woman Eve in Genesis 3:16, and to all women today to be loved through the desire of relationship, has also been made perverse by the enemy, to the point that the woman today allow their self, the women today allow their self-worth and their health to be diminished, disrespected, and sometimes put to death by destructive relationships, not accepting or acknowledging the dysfunction and toxicity, and therefore not taking action when a relational breakdown has occurred.
That's, before you can even pose a question, that's just packed with all kinds of everything. Yeah, yeah. You know, Adam and Eve's decision, obviously, it created even the very generational curse, the word, with Cain and Abel. We see that. And we see how sexual perversion and how sex is perverse and how relationship and sanctity of unity is perverse, how it's affecting our households. It's just, it's an epidemic, right? And everything is taken out of context. They do it with the word of God, you know, and now they do it with how we should operate in our homes. Marriage and husband and wives is supposed to be a respected unity. Yes. And now it's been perverse to say that he's in charge or he's over you. So whatever he trickles down that you follow. And, you know, I can even say for Eric in our relationship, it was whatever he says go, even if it was unfair, even if it wasn't how it should be. And for so many years, it was unhealthy. And we lived that way, unhealthy. So, you know, we really want to open up this conversation on that particular stage where women, you're taking things that you shouldn't be taking and calling it marriage. You're taking things that you shouldn't be taking and staying silent because you feel like you don't have a voice or you don't feel empowered. We need to get into the Word of God. We need to see our identity the way that He sees us and take a stand respectfully in that light. Even for those of us who are saved and our household is running amok and we feel like nothing will change. If you stay before God, if you allow the anointing to saturate your house, greater is He that's in you Amen. Than he that is in the world, than anyone is in your household. And I promise it will come into alignment. We'll pose the question because I'm excited to hear what the question is on this. Was there a question in there?
I was going to say that.
That was, you know, a packed statement.
Coming from the singles perspective. How
Come on, singles perspective.
Outside of the covenant arrangement of marriage is very destructive. You can see it in our society with brokenheartedness, divorces, abortion, diseases. So I can totally agree with that, a relational breakdown, and also how without women having any value, the word no. Women have so much power. If you said no to sex with someone else's husband or sex without being married, our society would be a lot different.
Yes,
our families
would
be more intact.
Yes, it would. So, yeah. Yeah, and you look at it even in diseases, and you look at it in deformities, you look at it in autism, you look at it in all of these other things that our children are affected by, and it's as a result of a relational breakdown it's and true. A poor choice that was made and now has perpetuated these diseases that God didn't intend for us to suffer
right.
through and or our children. And I say that because even in my family, muscular dystrophy was a huge disease. It killed 5 of my uncles on my mother's side. It killed my brother. It is something that you look at, and they would even pose to my mother, do you want to have kids because you're a carrier of this disease? So you now carry this very thing that will determine life or death in your child going in to the process of childbirth. And so this is how serious this thing is to be outside of the will of God and to not live by the principles of God and to not talk about it and continue to do the things that we're doing like it doesn't matter or like it's okay because the world says so.
Right.
Good stuff. I want to acknowledge so many people who are jumping on. We are so grateful that you guys are joining us. Linda, thanks for joining. Alexandra, thanks for joining. Okay, now, Tahiri, thanks for joining. Thank you, Pam, because I don't know what that was going to be. Tahiri, Mary, hey, Mary, thanks for joining. She got that mantle of Elijah. Alexandra, Helen, thanks for your comment. Jesus loves you no matter what. A to the man. And we got Helen. She also says, no condemnation, none, y'all. Don't condemn yourselves because Jesus isn't doing it. He did not come to condemn the world, but that the world through him would have life and that more abundantly. Pastor Valerie, thanks for joining. Miriam, how are you? Where's June at? I've been trying to get those t-shirts made on the sideline there. Hey, Miriam. Helen gave a shout out to Truth FM. We love them, Helen.
Yes.
We have Bernadette and Sarah. Hey, Sarah, that's my prayer warrior. Woo, woo, woo. Is that Doko?
Yes.
Look at that. Doko, thanks for joining. Nancy Akins from The Water and Hole and His Jealous Love. Woo, woo, woo. We're excited about her conference that's coming up. Y'all better get into that because it's very limited seats. We have Kay Fairley and Candy. The real Candy.
Love
and we have Imad. Thanks for joining, Imad. The gentlemen are joining too. And this conversation is for you. Look at that. Come through. For joining. Get your brothers, get your popcorn, tell them join the ladies in the conversation. You might take something away from this and make some stuff better. Hello.
The conversation is real.
So can I pose to the conversation something that a lot of people don't talk about? Is as far as the meat.
Certain folks.
Somebody told me that. I was like, what? But anyway, back to my
Help
question.
Us, Jesus.
Okay, you know how it says the man is the head, right?
Yes.
And there are some women that are housewives.
Right.
But people make it seem like being a housewife is like something bad. Like,
it's true.
Yeah, like you ain't got a real job.
Right. Yeah, they'll say it's not a real job because, hello, I'm a housewife. And people say stuff like, what do you do all day? You don't do anything all
Work.
Day. You just, they think you sitting on the couch eating bonbons
all
day.
No.
But it's not like that. It's like real work.
Yeah.
Work.
Yeah.
But I see people looking down on women that are housewives.
Come on.
And you kind of feel, you know, they make you think that you're beneath something because you don't go out there and work. And they be like, I don't want to be like you. I don't want to sit at home all day.
Come on.
But it's really not sitting at home all day. Like, I got a messy family. And so I wish I could be sitting down all day.
Telling
but
you.
To run a household, for people out there who may not know, it's work.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, I'm working every day. Come I on. Gotta,
it's
like...
more than the person going to work every day.
Yeah,
it is. Yes. Because, you know, you gotta run the household. You gotta make sure... Like, my husband was complaining, and I was like, well, what if I don't go buy any toothpaste? And you get up, and you can't brush your teeth
right.
in the morning.
Right,
like,
come on.
You know, because he kind of feeling like, what do you do? And I was like, every time you get up, and you got everything you need... That's what I do.
Right.
That's
every time
right.
these children have to be somewhere, go do stuff, every time y'all get something out of that refrigerator, every time you got socks to put on, every time you got soap to shower with, like all that, every time you got clean clothes,
come on.
Every time you come in a house and it's not an absolute mess, I'm a neat freak. So y'all probably drive them a little crazy because I it's a place for everything.
Right.
But I just wanted to speak out for women who are like me that you stay at home.
Speak to them.
Like
right
I'm
there.
Still,
go on, speak to the
I'm
camera.
I'm still important. I'm
Come
still
on.
Relevant and
yes.
I don't have to take certain things.
Right.
Because a lot of women that are housewives take a lot of stuff because
right.
they feel like, you know,
that's
my husband, he you know, he the man over the household and I gotta do this, you know, I gotta ask, can I buy a you know, Q-tip. Like,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah,
no,
yeah, yeah. Come on.
It's a real thing. So I'm speaking to the women out there.
That's
We work for real. It's
Come
like
on.
Real work.
It
but
is.
But then, like, for me on the side, I have other stuff that I'm trying to do. But we are not small-minded. We are smart.
Come
we are
on.
Educated.
Yes.
And so I just wanted to say that to somebody who may be watching. And those husbands that feel like their wives that are home, that are stay-at-home moms, that they are beneath you, they are not. Because without them, the house wouldn't be running.
Come on.
Nice.
And I would...
Our stay-at-home moms, I used to always say they're raising a nation.
Yes.
That's good. That's
home
good.
With your children.
That's
and they're
good.
Not in daycare all day long. See, I was a single mom, had to work, but then I had a season where I stayed at home with my children because daycare, you know, it's really hard putting them in daycare and not seeing them all day long.
Yeah.
I preferred being a stay-at-home mom.
Come on.
I didn't have that opportunity for too long, but I honor you.
That's good.
I wasn't one
Pam.
Always, though, because I was
Come
a daycare
on,
provider.
Yeah.
Shoot. I don't clean my house. Mama D does that. Mama, I love you. But yes, I listen, stay-at-home moms, know your identity in the father. Your identity isn't in the title stay-at-home mom. You know, you do a lot, Pam. You do. You know, she be cutting up that fruit and stuff. It be looking so pretty. Like, where you get that at Safeway? No, I cut that up in my kitchen. Come on. See, that's how they have time to do stuff like that.
That's
but
true.
You know, I look at stay-at-home moms as entrepreneurship.
Yes,
like
are.
You have to manage and maintain and prioritize your day-to-day activities to run the household.
Yep.
Listen, get up and ain't got no toothpaste. Go,
on
yeah.
Time.
What if you can't wipe your behind? You can't get off the toilet right then and there and go run on a number two.
Yes.
I'm just saying, we doing stuff, men. We doing stuff, and the dinner is cooked.
And the dinner.
You want hot meals, don't you? What's that song? Oh, that's
no.
So I've been singing songs all day that relate to conversations. It's just how I process and I get through. But we're going to go to... I ain't got no sense. We're going to go to the next question.
Oh, my goodness.
Comment
awesome.
Or concern in Jesus' name. Comments. So our tech... She's keeping us on track, y'all.
Yes,
we got comments. I'm loving the comments. Mary, thank you for the hearts, girl. Appreciate you. Hey, Tracy, how are you? Thanks for joining. Helen, girl, I love you. You so part of the conversation. Y'all need to jump on Helen's train and start talking to the people. Helen says, that's a generational curse of not talking about things and hiding things such as rape. Come on.
That's right.
And children at a young age and siblings that are not, and the list goes on. Come on, Helen. You know, and she touched on a good subject because a lot of times there are individuals in the home that know what's going on and not talking about it. There are women, and it's not to blast women, that children are being molested and won't say anything because it's the husband or it's the provider. And so we allow that to happen in our homes to our children. It's a known thing. And there are men that know what's going on because women molest just as men. So we need to begin
That's
to speak
true.
Up and have the conversation.
Because
I know when I spoke up about what took place with me, and it wasn't to my mother, but it was to other family, that I was told I was lying. And so, you know, we got to start listening to the voices
right.
that are saying something's wrong and not ignoring it because of how it will diminish or change the lifestyle or the provision
That's
of.
Right.
I'm just saying.
That's
so
right.
thanks for that, Helen. Appreciate you. Go on, narrator. What's next on the list?
Identify.
She got them glasses, y'all. Look at them pink glasses.
Fifth key point, identifying core, the central point of relational breakdown. Now that we are exploring relational breakdowns that led to diminished quality of life, unhealthy mental status, and continued partnerships with our family's generational curses, can you identify your core, the central point of your relational breakdowns, including breakdowns within yourself? So yeah, it's easy to point it out in somebody else because we see it happening in front of us. We're like, oh, yeah, I see you. And this is what it looks like. But can we turn the finger back in this direction and say, I can see what it is in myself? For me, I just went on this amazing life coaching journey. And actually... That sister over there.
Right over there to the
Andrea
right, to
Taylor,
my right.
What was and still is
left.
My life coach.
Come on.
And so she helped me to, I kept like going or beating around the bush. And she would always just gently, lovingly turn the mirror on me. She kept
That's
going,
good.
no, honey,
That's
look
good.
At you. What about you?
That's good.
Talk about you.
Come on.
Think about you. What is it about you? Because you can change you. You can change them.
Come on.
You can change you.
Come on.
And when you're able to turn that mirror on yourself and really just transparently say, this generational curse, okay, I was born into it. I didn't do it.
Right,
but
right,
now
right.
it's affecting me.
Come on.
What can
That's
I do?
Preach.
Yeah.
Or stop doing.
Come on.
So that it ends with me.
Yeah. Yeah. That's accountability.
Yes.
That's taking responsibility. And I love it because that's going to be in another episode. But let's just touch on it. Those of us who have been victimized, those of us who have been abused, those of us who are still experiencing things that are unhealthy, we still have responsibility. We have to be accountable for our actions, how we respond to situations and circumstances, and what we allow. And I think a lot of times the enemy likes us to feel like we're victims, this victim mentality.
Yeah.
So we diminish ourselves, or even if we feel empowered for a minute, we go back because feeling like a victim is comfortable.
Yeah.
I remember, and I told this story and I'll try to be quick, that when my first relationship, I felt happiness for the first time and it was extremely uncomfortable. Who could feel uncomfortable being happy? But because my life was so unhappy, because there was so much trauma, because nobody around me was happy. I don't remember knowing what happiness looked like other than television. And that was fake. Wow. So to be in this setting where it was just comfortable, there was love, it fostered an environment of happiness, I began to look for reasons to change that. Because I needed drama. I needed to be uncomfortable. I needed to have an argument. I needed to pull that person into my world because being in that world was not for me. That wasn't my, it was very uncomfortable. And so I began to pick at things to create an uncomfortable environment. Oh. Now I know I'm not by myself. So for those of us who have grown up in such toxicity, it's hard when you're shown something different without being told what that is. Right? It's like being in a foreign world. You're uncomfortable. You don't know what you don't know. Yeah. And so that was my experience on that. So good stuff.
And let me ask this question. What is the core source of dysfunction by which you tap into knowingly or unknowingly that has and possibly continues to cause breakdowns?
That's good. Before we jump on that question, I just want to shout out, we are getting comments. Thank you, ladies, awesome. For commenting. Ty says, yes, breakthrough. Leslie says, that's so good. Helen, thanks, girl. Self-evaluation. Look at yourself in the mirror. Mm-hmm. I do it every June 30th on my birthday. I look at myself and I say, girl, what you done did this year? This year, legacy. But I'm sorry, I digress because, you know, my team is like, she needs to just hush her mouth. Mary, thanks for coming. That's right. What can I do? Girl, get into the unapologetically unashamed community.
Yes.
You got access to these experts and homework that's going to make you dig deep. And it ain't even that expensive. Go get your help. It's not. It's a membership fee, $35.
Come on.
So into the ministry. Mm-hmm. Come on, Carrie, I'm going to yell because you got caps. You know caps mean you yelling. So she says, wow, come on, Nashawn. Go on and hold your ears. I have to give it like they give it, y'all. Thank you, Carrie. That was beautiful. Mary, we are victors. Amen. Up prayer hands and fire. I'm going to just be lit all by myself with my bun up here jiggling. Y'all like this hairdo? They done talked me into this half and half hairdo. I don't know
it's
whether
cute.
I'm 38 or 12. I can't figure it out. I'm stuck, y'all. But she cute.
Yes, she is.
Yes, you are.
We don't even remember the conversation. We got like 3 more minutes, y'all.
Okay.
And we are just going to rock out and have fun, whatever that looks like.
Okay, because I was getting ready.
You got to answer?
You have it?
No, I just wanted, what?
The answer to the question?
Go ahead.
I forgot the core part.
What is the core source of dysfunction by which you tap into knowingly or unknowingly?
That's good.
That has and possibly continues to cause breakdowns.
Now, I like this question because this is the purpose of the show, to tap into the core issues, the thing that everything else stimulates
from,
that core source. I love the exercise that Andrea had at her Unstuck event that we went to yesterday, and mine was circles. Because Holy Spirit, God is the core of everything that everything stems from. But if we look at it in the carnal mindset, that core issue, what is that thing you find yourself tapping into more times than not that reverberates all of this negative habits and activities and the language that we speak or the things that we watch or the music that we listen to? It all comes from this core, this nucleus that is breeding this unhealthy behavior, this unhealthy activities, these unhealthy point of views and mindsets. What would that look like for you? That's just a question. Gone.
I was trying to. It's like a year of healing for me, and this is the first year I was able to talk about being sexually assaulted.
Come on,
age 12, and because getting into relationships and you wonder why you're continuing negative patterns or choosing the wrong type of men.
Yeah. So
I
good.
Don't protect myself. I didn't value myself because when I told an adult what had happened to me, they did absolutely nothing.
Nothing. Come on.
So if you don't protect me, then I don't protect me.
Come on.
And I didn't build value enough to protect myself. And
so good.
That pattern just kind of surfaced throughout my life. And I go back and it's like, wow, I caused a lot of harm to myself because of not protecting myself.
So good.
Wow, that's
so good.
Sense.
You don't know what you don't know, right? So you don't know what it... And that's the hard part about our core issues is we don't know how to fix these things. And I think that's why the Unapologetically Unashamed community is going to be such a resource for the women. Women who come onto this community. I mean, we are diving into tools, practical tools that you can apply to your life to dig into the core issues and also to dig out of the core issues. Yeah. Are we counselors or physicians? By no means. But Holy Spirit has given us all a gift and a talent and revelation, and we have created tools and product from that to give to the people. So come on and get them tools, because they shitting on the screen.
What is that voice?
I don't know. I'm just having fun because, you know.
She sounds like Peter from Brady Bunch.
Listen. I love that voice. See, we just did our professional commercial to come soon. You'll see that. And I was so tired, and I got some rest today because I actually just slept all to the day long. Oh, it was beautiful. Jesus, I think that's a lie, but I was like, ooh. So this is what I look like with energy. We are so excited that I'm gonna close out. We're so excited that you guys have joined us. This is Unapologetically Unashamed presents Relational Breakdowns, episode to the two. I couldn't help it. Hey, catch it on our podcast. We'd be really great. I'm going to grab these last comments before we go out. Okay. All right, Helen. Freedom. I'm sorry. I love it. I got seven minutes. I'm about to close out, huh?
We can do a lot in 7 minutes.
We got a lot we going to do in 7 minutes. The number. I'm going to finish the comments because Pam says she'll finish them comments on time. Say something. All right, Mary says, not seeing yourself as valuable. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus, for reversing the curse. Yes,
ooh, that's
God.
Good.
That, I'm going to read that again.
Please.
Mm-hmm. Mary Lopez says, not seeing yourself as valuable. Come on. Aww. Thank you, Jesus, for reversing the curse. Listen, the word of God says, say a thing, declare a thing, and it shall be so.
There.
So, Father God, we thank you for every woman that's watching, for every ear that's listening, that right now in the mighty name of Jesus.
Woo! Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for reversing the curse. Whatever
Hallelujah.
That curse is, Father, we speak it into their lives right now, and we say thank you, Father. Thank you in faith, Father God, for it is impossible to do anything without faith. But we believe, we stand in the gap, God, and we thank you for reversing the curse. I felt that
Amen.
Thing. Oh, I'm about to speak into some tongues. I say. Come on.
Right.
This is a real show. We speak in tongues, okay? It's real. Oh, we got comments from Abair. Oh, thank you, Abair. We love you so much, Truth FM. She says, yes, Regina. I love it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Y'all got to say yes the right way. You can't be saying, thank you. Holla. I was sexually assaulted as a kid. Oh, transparency. Clutch my little pearls. Whew. That's heavy because when it's happened to you, it's a real thing and it's, yeah. I was sexually assaulted as a kid as well, and that clearly opened up a bunch of dysfunction in my relationships. Amen. Amen. It does. And Helen says, me too. Thank you, Helen. Wow. Thank you all for being so transparent. That's what this is about. Because just saying that is freedom. Just saying that. And even looking at Abair to come out and say that she's the face of a company, right? She has influence. You guys, when you have influence and you speak up on the topic and the subjects, you not only free you, but you free others who feel like they can't say anything when they don't even have a face of something. So you give them a voice. So thank you so much for sharing, Abair. That just freed a lot of women in Jesus' name. And
Amen.
We thank you, Father, for freedom. We thank you for vulnerability because this is what cultivates healing. Helen, thank you for sharing, baby girl. We are so happy that you were just feeling free in the moment and shared, girl. Thank you. Oh, we have Marlena. She's from our smart group on Thursday. We love you, Marlena. She comes through our prophetic small group on Thursdays. Listen. The upper room.
Yes.
That small group is lit.
No, you want for real.
No, no, for real, for real. No, if you want to meet Jesus in a tangible way outside of church, come to the upper room on Thursday. What did Acts 2 say about the upper room? They were all on one accord.
Yes.
And suddenly, like a mighty rushing wind, that's like that fan, my Beyonce, if I had my wig on, it'd be good, right? It was a mighty rushing wind, and the Spirit...
She got some rest, y'all.
I'm happy. I'm happy. Listen, the reason why I'm happy is because we are on a platform to spark a conversation. Yeah. Oh.
All right.
Come on. I can't even finish my comments, y'all. Yeah, y'all are freeing me. So Carrie says, I was assaulted by my grandfather. Wow, wow, wow. Thanks for sharing, Carrie.
Thank you.
Face of Daughters of the King. This is why we do what we do. This is why you see us pressing our way to create these organizations. It's not about followers. It's not about influence. It's not about saying I'm Athena of New Beginnings. It's about creating the conversation. It's about fostering the space that can bring in healing. We're tired of the enemy locking us in the cages, and we want to free the women from these cages. How can we do that unless we start the conversation? How can we do that unless we're willing to speak out? So thank you all for just speaking out. Tammy, thanks for watching. Miriam, whoop, whoop. I want to thank Miriam. She is a huge supporter of New Beginnings Empowerment Center Incorporated. She is the reason why we are now going to be a 501c3. Woo! Thank you, Miriam. We love you. Listen, when God gives you a vision, I don't care if you're broke, busted, and disgusted, okay? He will provide. Go on and step out and watch him provide in Jesus to the name. Amen. That we ain't got no more topics. That is the voice of unapologetically unashamed. Okay? I am so happy. I'm happy. I'm happy that you guys are joining the conversation because that's what it is. It's a conversation. We're excited. I still want to shout out one more time the Unapologetically Unashamed Private Community. It opened Friday. Members are coming in, and I'm so happy to see them come in. We just released our first curriculum for Unit 1. These are specific assignments from each ambassador, each expert here. And why are we experts? Because we live that thing that we're giving you. We're walking in that thing that we're giving you, and we're experiencing that thing that we're giving you.
Yes.
So that makes you an expert.
That's right. Yes.
Because you've come out on the other side better, right? So let us help you get to that other
side because
he's given us the tools, and we want to give them to you. So we are excited. Right after this live, we're going to go into another live with just our private community and just have some one-on-one time with them. We have some exciting stuff coming for the community. This next 3 months is just going to be a lot of digging deep, a lot of showing you how to be vulnerable and how to cultivate that so that you can heal. I mean, we got Andrea here for life coaching, giving you tools. Pam, if you're dealing with grief, whether that's loss of a loved one or relationship, whatever that looks like, gonna walk you through. I'm gonna take you through to the Holy Spirit. What does intimacy look like with Abba? I'm gonna show you. We got Nishan doing all things worship and the art of, let her teach you some worship. Okay.
Amen.
We was in the war room today, wasn't we, Sean?
Yes.
We were in the war room today. I'm going to take the team into the war room.
Why we didn't get invited?
Listen, she came over early.
Y'all took y'all time.
See, y'all was dragging your feet. She was over early, and we had on our pajamas, and we went in the war room, and we just sat. Thank you so much for joining us again for episode 2, Unapologetically Unashamed Presents Relational Breakdowns. In this episode, we looked at the results of relational breakdowns over a series of 5 topics. Wow, what an exciting show full of laughter, of fun. I mean, we just really dived into some deep topics, but Holy Spirit allowed us to cultivate the deep while also bringing in some humor. That's just the way he rolls. So we just thank you for joining us. We can't wait for episode 3, Identify can't find the crux. Oh my God, it's going to be such a great show. Hey, if you haven't joined the Unapologetically Unashamed private community, I encourage you to do so. Sow that seed of $35 a month so that we can continue to do what we do. But you'll get so many great tools from all of the ambassadors on Unapologetically Unashamed team. There's so much that we're getting ready to offer. There's things that we're creating that are going to come to the private community first, and we're just so excited. Support us, sponsor us. We love you. We appreciate you. Until next time, bye now.